That's the question I'd like to lay before all of you now. Where's the $95,000 going to come from? How? What's the current thinking? So far, it's been a lot of listening. I've been to a number of budget hearings and school board meetings, but so far, nobody has come out with the list of options, and I have a feeling you're probably formulating this in the district office. And is there anything you can tell us yet about how you're going to tighten up and balance next year's budget?
Well, I just would like to say that that's a real preliminary number. As Cass was talking about going over and lobbying, we don't yet know what the legislature will give us. We know that the city had said that they are expecting to give us about $240,000 yet. Less. However, we don't yet know that that's a firm number. We don't know what our actual numbers are. We just got information that our insurance may be higher than we estimated, which is still to be determined. There's lots of information. But the point of our new process is to really hear during the public hearings that we've had. And on the 28th of March, we'll have our work session with the board.
February 28th.
Sorry. I'm a month ahead. Thank you for that clarification. We will have a work session with the school board where we will be presenting more of the list, prioritized list. We're gathering information. We're gathering feedback. And then we'll move forward in the process with more definite ways that we hope to close the gap. And that gap number is going to change. Because it's just so early in the process.
Nothing you can reveal now that will provoke a barrage of angry phone calls.
I'm trying very hard to have this be a collaborative process and not have angst, but to say, what do we want for our community schools? What do we value? And we're trying to do that with the staff. We're trying to do that with the community. And I think our new budget process really helps make give the context to the numbers, which makes our budget much more transparent.
That's a good point. We're kind of joking about this a little bit, but if we were having this conversation in the context of something very, very dear being cut, I'm sure we'd be hearing from a lot of people, but I think you guys have kind of flipped it on its head, and you'd like to hear from people who support and value things for what they are now, to just kind of fix it on the radar and let people know. And that's probably why people came out in force for the PAC at the last budget hearing. Now would probably be a good time, if there was something you thought was really important to our school district, to let Cass Pook and Eric Van Sice know. They'll take it back to the rest of the school board. And Superintendent Mary Wagner and Business Manager Cassie Olin can prepare it into this February, folded into this February 28th document when it is going to become more a matter of dollars and cents about what measures the district's going to take to close this gap. The number is 747-5877 or kcaw.org. I'm sorry, go to the Raven Radio Facebook page and post a comment there on this forum thread. You can also email us news@kcaw.org. So, Cass Pook, have you been to Juneau yet for the fly-in?
I have, and so I wanted to bring up a little bit about that as far as what we advocated for as an association, the Alaska School Board Members Association. And so we were asking for a sustainable, stable fiscal plan addressing the revenue, whether it be through HB 115, which is where they want to take some out of the permanent fund, leave 33% for savings, and then the rest of it to use towards addressing the fiscal plan, the gap. And we were asking, and that was submitted by Representative Paul Seaton, and also asked that they maintain the foundation formula and current level of support, maintain the BSA, avoid cost shifting, presenters, broadband. And then third was collaboration, not consolidation. There's an idea out there of consolidating schools, like, for instance, that maybe Sitka might take on some smaller schools that are too small to run with 10 students. So we weren't in favor of that idea, that not that it's a bad thing, but for instance, just as a community close by, they need to be at home. They want to be at home. So consolidation was not a good idea. And strengthen local control and collaboration between districts through innovation and cost-neutral efficiencies. If you follow bills, then the one to really look for is the HB 115. And then there's also retirement incentive, HB 11, also that was put forward by Representative Scott Kawasaki from Fairbanks, and he also submitted another bill, HB 52, on pre-K education. I don't think that's going to go anywhere, but it was put in just to get it on the radar. And I think there's another one similar to the pre-K that's going to be put in. So those are, oh, and then one that is just a drop in the bucket. It'll raise the revenue, but not enough, but it's tax, SB 12, tax for school facilities. Mary was talking about, we really don't know what the legislature is going to do right now, but when we were on the Hill last week, House representatives, they don't want to touch education at all. They can't give to it. They know that they can't probably increase this year, but they don't want to take from anything. They want to just keep it where it's at. Don't touch the BSA, the foundation formula. But when it gets to the Senate, that's a different story. They're looking at 5%. That's the talk on the Hill, 5% of the school budget. So although our budget looks good now, it might not after the Senate. Some of these bills go through the Senate. So what we were advocating for is if they were to take 5%, take it from the BSA, but don't take it from the general operating fund, because that would really hurt us financially. So I don't really know what's going to happen once the bills hit the Senate. But I know House representatives are not touching it.
All right. Cass Book is president of the Sitka School Board. BSA that she's talking about is the base student allocation, and that's $5,930 per student that's folded into the foundation formula that produces the amount of money that the state gives the Sitka School District in foundation formula. And then there's grants and things that are piled up on top of that. Cassie, do you know what that 5% would translate to in a funding reduction for the Sitka District? And ballpark is totally fine, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but how much of the district budget is at risk by possible Senate action?
Was that 5% on the BSA?
5% off of the operating budget. I think that'd be about $1 million.
$1 million.
About $1 million.
Yeah, if it was off the main budget. Mm-hmm. Off the BSA, we have all the calculations. It'd be hard to even ballpark it.
Okay, but that would be a significant hit to the district.
Yeah, it would, there's too many factors that go into that to give you a true estimate. I would have to work some magic on some spreadsheets to together and get you a definitive number.
Okay.
So it's just important to, if you're gonna write to anyone, the Senate is the who you want to address with the budget, and that education just can't afford to take any more cuts. We have taken out all the wiggle room.
All right. The number to call if you would like to participate in this conversation, it's a live school board budget hearing, is 747-5877. You can post a question on the Facebook thread, Braven Radio's Facebook page, or you can email news@kcaw.org. So given what Cass just said, that the legislative, you know, the Senate is proposing 5%, the House is proposing nothing. There's going to be a conference committee, you know, from the House and the Senate, and they're going to have to arrive at some kind of number, and that suggests that the $95,000 that you said is very preliminary could grow
exactly
a little bit. So when does it all kind of come into play? I mean, the legislature, could be extended past the 90 days.
What was it last year?
It actually last year went into July.
Yeah, went into.
Which is why when at the end of the year, when people are talking about, you know, why do we have this $1 million? It's those reasons. We don't know if the legislature isn't done and out of session. We, as business managers of school districts, we have to be very conservative to figure out if they're going to take, you know, the $50 away, which could, last year was an estimated $325,000 for the six school districts. So those things are always playing kind of in the back of my mind, saying, okay, so if this happens, what are we going to do? And so you kind of have to prepare for that, which is, you know, one reason why we kind of have to keep a little bit there, because they're ending so much later in the year.
Yeah. Cassie, I want to say that I have seen past budget scenarios from you where you have prepared a column where you say, in the event the legislature does this with the BSA or the Senate cuts this, this is what the numbers look like for Sitka. Are you going to prepare that kind of document for February 28th? Or?
I will prepare it if the information is available. If I have amendments that are coming out from the Department of Education, they are usually the ones when somebody proposes a 5% cut or a $50 BSA, the Department of Education and Early Development usually will send us school districts memo stating this is your effect to you. And usually that's when I put together our own personal sheets so that we can see how the impact's going to happen here in Sitka.
All right. Again, the number to call is 747-5877. I wanted to talk just a little bit about the city contribution and enrollment, since we're trying to find sort of a Cassie's confidence level in what the numbers are going to be. Mary, at the very beginning of the program, about an hour ago, you said that you were expecting the city's contribution to this district to be reduced about $239,000. Mm-hmm. Have the board and the assembly sat down together yet and agreed to that's the starting point? What are you basing that number on?
The board and the assembly have sat down in a work session, but they have not agreed on a number yet. I'm basing that number on some assembly action that looked at a percentage. Basically, the district was looked at like a department in the city, and they were looking at what kind of percentage of cut. So they looked at our budget and looked at what a cut would be, and they came up with the $239,000. But that is also not an official action. It is just an estimate. And I know that Mark Gorman told me that number is already shifting a little bit in their conversations. So that's partly what will be the information we'll be gathering here is what do we think that's going to look like now, given what they think their budget is going to look like. I will say that we are one of the very few city municipal school districts that the city does not fund to the cap, and that is a factor. However, we stopped funding to the cap a long time ago, maybe a decade ago.
2005.
And when you stop funding to the cap, it's really hard to get back to that. And I appreciate the city and the assembly's efforts to get us back to a number that's closer to the cap. But if we really want to have quality schools, it's going to cost some money. We did in our budget account for the $240,000, $239,000 estimated reduction. But I don't know what has changed yet from the city's point of view to see what that number looks like now. It could be more, it could be less.
Okay. I think you made a special point during your last budget presentation for the public at the school board meeting to mention that the district is doing staff reductions. Mm-hmm. You're trying to restore, I think, the positions that people are asking for, mm-hmm. but the size of the district is going down.
Correct. And so because we're now looking at data, previously when we had a reduction in enrollment, we didn't really know where it was because we weren't looking specifically at grade-by-grade level data. We were just kind of rolling kids up like we did our budget. And now because we're looking at actual data, we can say that we can offer the same size classrooms, not increasing class size, the same size classrooms as what we have historically have at the elementary level, primarily primary elementary levels, and with one less teacher at Baranoff and one less teacher at Keat, and not change any of the services that we provide students, not change anything other than we just have fewer students, and we know where those students, we have fewer students, so we can reduce our staff accordingly.
All right.
And that those reductions are through attrition. Nobody's going to lose their job over it.
All right. Superintendent Mary Wegner. Cassie, you've been doing calculations over there. Do you have anything to report on? No, she just works with numbers all the time. I guess we had budgeted till 8 o'clock tonight. But I think unless somebody feels strongly otherwise and gives us a call right now, we can start to sort of wrap things up. And I guess I'd like to hear from Cass Pook and Eric Van Sice about what they want to hear from the public as you guys sort of come into the home stretch in the budget-making process. What Mary Wegner and Cassie have told us is that some things are up in the air, and Cass, you're well aware that the legislature is a fickle creature and could go either way, but now is the time in your board member process when you're gathering information, and what haven't you heard yet that you'd like to hear, you know, if not tonight, at one of the upcoming budget work sessions or budget hearings that remain on the calendar?
Well, we were talking about city contribution. I would like to hear from the community members how they feel about that, because the last time I remember being funded at the cap was when Marco was mayor, and so traditionally we always funded 3% above the cap, and it's gone down significantly. And as we get cut, our cost for teachers for educating our kids goes up. And so we have to find ways to pay that. And so I'm not too happy about it. And that's my opinion. I'm not speaking for the whole board, but I'm not happy. And we need to really focus on our kids and our community and educating them and giving them quality education. And if that means funding to the cap, then fund to the cap. Find a way to do it. When I was at the annual conference this year for board members across the state, and just recently on the Hill, there were some boards surrounding our area that were surprised that we don't fund to the cap. Some of them are at like 90%. They're like up there. So, just throw that out there. That's my opinion. Not speaking for the whole board.
All right. Thanks, Cass. Before Eric takes that question, I wondered, Cassie, can you tell us what funding to the cap would be if the city gave its maximum allowable contribution? I've seen it in there somewhere. And again, a ballpark would be fine if you felt like you couldn't dig up the exact number.
Based off of the current figures that we have, funding to the cap would be $7,007,844. Currently, right now, with the $240,000 reduction to our contribution, we are currently being underfunded by $1,063,311, which equates to about 87% to the cap, basically.
And does this factor in the city's contributions to the swimming pool and activities? Do they fund outside of the...
They fund outside of that.
Okay, so...
That's that 3% Cass was talking about that before, but it's not instructional.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So instructional and the cap is for instructional parts of our budget, so that's okay. Where those numbers...
Yeah. Does that come up when you're talking to legislators that Sitka doesn't go all the way to the cap, but it's sort of spending money on the side for the swimming pool and...
Yeah,
like.
it comes up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Eric Van Sice, your thoughts on what you'd like to hear from the public as you start to prepare for the decision on signing off on a budget for next year.
Well, I think it's been well stated by my colleagues in here. It's there are just, if the public can just understand and always know that there are a tremendous amount of numbers and figures that we just don't know. In the timing of everything, it's unfortunate. I know there's been discussions about really knuckling down where districts across the state can have, and even municipalities have some idea with what we're working with in a timely manner, because the cascade effect of not knowing is, it really puts a lot of strain and stress. We might be making decisions that we find out later we didn't have to make, or the other happens. As far as from the public, I would echo what Cass has said. I think at times as a school district, because we are tied to funding from the city, I think there are times that people are, for various reasons in the past or present, might be frustrated with things that have happened in the city or whatever it might be. And the downhill effect is feel the effect of that. If people are not for certain budget increases or millage rates, or if they're tied to different things that they're not happy with. And so I would just really encourage Sitkins to communicate with the assembly members and us. I would like to know also from the public, people can email or call, it doesn't matter. What are they willing to see go away? What really, when it comes down to the brass tacks, if we do have to cut deep, what are some things? Because that's what really, really guides me is that public input. I've heard about from Loud and Clear, and it was appropriate about the counselor staff. I know there's been some discussion about even revisiting potentially the cuts. We look at data and numbers, but it's not an exact science. We also know that this new budget process, as you alluded to earlier in the program, we don't have a lot of wiggle room. We've basically cleaned the change out from underneath the car seat, and we have what's left sitting in the tray in front of us. And so we really need to be efficient. And this would be a very important time for the public to, we talked about this at our last meeting, where people may look at the number and say, okay, well, I'm not too worried about things. But really, this is a time to say, okay, yeah, we may not have this big budget problem, but we certainly could. And if it shows up, we need to make some serious decisions, and we'd really like to have that front-loaded with public input of what's important to people. And I hear from my colleagues and friends and people that, there's apathy, that people are just tired of not being heard. I would really encourage the public that in whatever means, contact one of us, one of the school staff or whatever. And this goes to our district staff as well. What is important? What do you really want retained? And if something had to go away, what would it be?
All right. Thanks, School Board Member Eric Van Sise. Superintendent Mary Wagner.
I just want to make a comment that as people contact the current assembly members and our current administration at the city, just to keep in mind that the fact that we're not funded to the cap is not a recent phenomenon. We have, as Cassie mentioned, it's been since 2005. And I just want to go on record that there's been a lot of efforts by recent assembly and current city administration to help close that gap. And so I think the feedback about the value of that would be helpful, but also not to beat them up for something that wasn't their creation. They're doing their best to try to solve a situation that they were presented with.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely a policy decision at the assembly level, that and a decision that's been made prior to the sort of the current state's fiscal crisis. And I do think back in the Marko Dapčević era, it was a quite a bit different sort of feeling coming out of Juneau than there is now. But again, the current decision not to fund the fund to the cap has something that just crept into Sitka policy at the assembly level over the past decade, and evidently assembly members considered it some kind of a necessity, but the public can address that with the assembly. Eric Van Cise.
Yeah, and I think, just thinking back what I was just saying there a while ago, I'd like what Mary said. As a newer board member, and this is me speaking to the current assembly, I feel we have a really good working relationship. I like who's on there. I think the dedication. I don't view it. I can't speak for my fellow board members, but I sense it very strongly. It's not an us against them type thing. I honestly think that many of the assembly members and even city staff, just like us on the board, have inherited things and you know that were done in the past or things, and we have to look at what we have right now. And this continued collaboration, discussions, and not us against them, which isn't the case. It's very encouraging, and so I just want to make sure, that any assembly members out there know that it's been a very good working relationship.
Thanks, Eric. Cass?
I just wanted to comment too on what you said about. It just crept in, the change. I can't remember if that was you or Mary. But it did creep in, and it was from a past administrator. I won't say any names, but you probably figured out. That's when it crept in. And I think the new assembly is not aware of when the change took place or how things were done traditionally. I think that this year with the budget, we can work good with the city assembly if we're at the 95,000 and just work with them this year. But depending on what the legislature does, that in the future when they work at closing the gap and solutions, to look at somehow bringing back that 3% little by little to put into our schools. And I do appreciate the work with the assembly. It's just the frustration of when that change took place and that it stuck in, and I think we need to get back to where we were with that.
All right. Thanks, Cass Book. Well, we're not going to get away after all. We have a caller. Tad, you have the ear of the school board.
Yes. So, I've been listening, and I got to tell you, 30, almost 8 years ago, I went to all this teacher, certified in the state of California. I'm getting feedback. Little
bit
understand what I'm saying here.
Yeah, Tad, turn your radio down, and we're getting you're breaking up just a little bit.
Actually.
Okay.
There oh, there's no more. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, a little bit feedback. Listen, everything has been said tonight, 1,000 times. I created homeschooling in California through the legislature. I used Tad and Teddy Rose. You guys need a full book. I'm willing to find my services. If the board wants to call, contact me. I'll give my number. But really, I got so turned off by all the things, all the hassles and stuff that we were fighting. It's the same BS that they're fighting, budgets and legislators and stuff. Well, we took it to another level, and we can do that. And it really means me, that the school has everything it could possibly need. And I think that's very easily possible with the experience I have. If they want to call me, fine.
All right. Thanks very much, Tad. I have to be honest with you. We were struggling to sort of get the gist of what you were saying. You were breaking up quite a bit. I'm going to ask you to go ahead, and if you wouldn't mind making your comment as an email, I'll make sure the board members here and the administrators get it. It's news@kcaw.org. And I'm going to say that again, Tad, in case you just turned your radio back on. We didn't quite understand completely what you were saying, so I'm going to recommend that you email your comment and your offer to news@kcaw.org, and I'll make sure that Superintendent Mary Wegner and Board President Cass Pook get the gist of what you were saying, because this is a public hearing, and the board is coming on the air tonight to hear from you. And we do have a few more minutes. If somebody else wanted to call, 747-5877, we'd be happy to. But we are just about to wrap it up. I wondered, we were talking about the interaction with the assembly. That is coming up in the not-too-distant future, right, Mary?
Correct. We had an initial meeting with the assembly, a work session, and we'll have another work session with the assembly as we come to the close of the process.
And that is the first work session is scheduled for March 2nd, 6 p.m. And will that be in the district office or Harrigan Centennial Hall? Do we know yet?
I don't believe a decision's been made.
Okay,
yet.
Venue to be announced. And then going back just a few days, there's February 28th, and there's a work session in the district office boardroom. These work sessions are not open to public testimony.
Correct.
So if you want to get your two cents in, it's best to, I would assume, communicate with a board member directly. And then March 28th, there'll be another board work session on the budget, the district office. And then April 18th, there will be the final budget hearing, and you'll actually sign off, planning on signing off on a budget. But public testimony will be taken again on April 18th. Mary, I said I was going to talk to you about enrollment. It's 1,253.
Correct. That's
right
our
now.
Projection for next year.
For next year. Mm-hmm. And do you have any thoughts just for the public about it's sort of a very, very slightly downward trend in Sitka?
Yes, we were up until a couple of years ago, until the recent economic situation, we were at a 1% increase. But we've looked at the data. We only get information about whether they move out of town, whether they move to another in-state school or homeschool program. But about 50% of the students who have left, the number I remember is 52%, but I might be off on that. But it was at least over 50% moved out of town. Families moved out of town. So it is economics are playing a part.
Yeah, it's a factor.
That would be my guess anyway.
And it's very, very apparent in the school board and the school district enrollment graph to see the sort of steady downward trend in enrollment. Does anybody else have anything for the public listening tonight? Anybody in the public have anything for us? 747-5877.
I just maybe add, Rob, that, you know, just the intertie between our school district and the city and the revenues and all of that, you know, it's we're seeing the effects. We don't know 100% for sure, but when you have families vacating the community, you look at the cost of housing, you look at different expenditures compared to other locations, even within the state, and, at least the circle of people that I communicate with, they don't want to leave, but there's just situations going on. So there is a lot of interweaving. If our economy is affected in a certain way, or if we're attracting a higher income demographics of people that have more flexibility, that maybe don't have children, whatever it might be, the ripple effect casts out through the school, and it's a very interesting interwoven system. But we're, I think, between our economy, and a whole bunch of factors, and the cost of living here, we're going to continue to see some difficult times.
All right, thanks, Eric. Yeah, I agree. Just sort of looking at it from overhead, thinking about it, I think we're going to be looking back at the sort of the complex dynamic between city, state, and the national sort of web of government funding and the economy, and the past year or two is going to reveal a lot about how sort of fragile and complicated Alaska's economy is. And every single person in this room, everyone listening, everyone, whether you have a child or not in the school district, you're affected by decisions going on in Juneau and in Harrigan Centennial Hall. Yes, Mary.
I just wanted to make comments as we look at the fact that the school district is completely relies upon local, state, and federal government. We've talked about local a lot tonight and state a little bit. But there is something from the federal government that we've received over recent years that is not yet a dead issue, and that's the Secure Rural Schools funding. And that's money that comes to the city to support schools and roads and emergency search and rescue. And there is still hope that we can get that passed. We have until March to get it passed, not only for this year, but for next year. And that could really close our budget gap. And it could help the city also in their budget. So if anybody has any desire to call our senators and our representative in Washington, D.C. to advocate for secure rural schools, that would be very helpful to us.
I always remember former board member Lon Garrison used to kind of ride that horse.
Did.
And are you looking for a new... the secure rural schools need a new champion?
We have one.
Oh.
One of the school board members in Cordova, okay. No, I'm sorry, Valdez, has stepped up to fill Lon Garrison's very big shoes in that area. And I know the Southeast Regional Resource Center CERC board that I sit on, we wrote a resolution in support of secure rural schools, and it is critical. The money was first given to so many communities. We get a small appropriation compared to a lot of other school districts up and down the West Coast and throughout Alaska, primarily Southeast Alaska. It's because we're surrounded by forest land and we cannot grow our city. We cannot add industry to our city because we're limited. And so it's money that's designed to help compensate for the lack of revenue that the city can get to support schools and roads, which are basic functions.
All right. When would you find out about secure rural schools? Do you know?
Well, if we don't get something through at the federal level by March, it's pretty much gone. We will never get it back. That's
all right.
Kind of what the thought is. So timing is of the essence. And in talking with our senators in Washington, D.C., they are active. They understand the issue. They are actively trying to help us, but they have to find a bill to put it on. But the more that they hear that this matters, the might help.
All right. Thanks very much, Mary. Well, barring any more calls or comments online, Madam President, I'd like your permission to adjourn.
You may adjourn.
Thanks so much. You've been listening to a live school board budget hearing. Here on Raven Radio, KCEW in Sitka, I've been joined by Cass Pook. She's school board president, Eric Van Sice, Mary Wegner, school superintendent and business manager, Cassie Olin. And the next time you can listen to board discussion about the budget is February 28th at 6 p.m. The school board is going to have a work session, I'm betting, in the district office when you will start to lay out sort of what the next year's budget is actually going to look like and how this $95,000 deficit will be addressed in real terms. So Raven News will be there, and we look forward to seeing you there as well. Thanks so much to those of you who listened tonight and the few of you who called in. It might be a sign that people are feeling confident about the situation that the school budget is in this year, but there's still a lot in place. So remember to please stay engaged. Thanks, everyone, for coming in tonight.
Thank
coming
you.
Up next.
Thank you, Robin. Community.
Yeah, you're welcome. Coming up next on Raven Radio at 8 o'clock, it'll be either the Tuesday Night Music Explosion or No Assembly Required. I'm not sure which is next, but lots of great music in your future here on Raven Radio. We're going to go out listening to a little of Grammy winner Zuul Bailey playing Tales of Hemingway. Thanks, everybody. Good night.